Hi, everyone. Before we get started, I just wanted to let you know that your girl is on Patreon. What Else Is Going On podcast, aka WEIGO, WEIGO, is on Patreon. So if you feel so inclined and want to support your girl that way, you can head on over to patreon.com/WEIGO podcast. That's patreon.com/WEIGO podcast, WEIGO podcast. Now, if you don't want to be on a monthly recurring thing, I totally understand that. But if you want to support, you can head on over to buymeacoffee.com/WEIGO, WEIGO. Again, buymeacoffee.com/WEIGO, because you know a girl be trying to put in some work and a coffee could help me stay awake. So those are your two options. And if you don't want to do either of those things, if you could rate, review, and subscribe and share with your friends, I would love that. Now, on to the episode.
The following podcast is a CJ Media production.
Welcome to the What Else Is Going On podcast, the intersection where pop culture life and real life meet up. Get ready to deep dive into all things reality TV and the dichotomy of loving the game, but not necessarily the players, when they start to reflect real life issues like deep-seated discrimination and a world rooted in racism. Feeling conflicted because I love
Clip.
And I also have to chant Black Lives Matter. Buckle your seatbelts and brace yourselves, because my foot is off the brake and this intersection gets busy. So come along for the ride so we can see what else is going on. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to another podcast episode of WEIGO Podcast, aka What Else Is Going On. You may be listening to the audio or you may be watching YouTube. If you're listening to the audio and cannot see this very handsome guest I have in front of me, he is the Carlos J. Harris that you may hear me shout out just about every YouTube video I do, which if you're not subscribed or watching the YouTubes, if you could please come on over to YouTube and subscribe. WEIGO Podcast. I'm only 100 and I think 30 away from 1,000 subscribers. Y'all are so incredible. I don't take y'all for granted. And I have this person on here to thank for that. When I tell you he was on me in a, not in an aggressive way, not in a, just like reminding me, this is what you said you wanted to do. We can do it here. Oh, okay. She didn't make that deadline. We can do it here. Come on, Taria. What do you? And he would be sending me stuff for the YouTube, even though there was no YouTube. And I truly, the fact that he believed in me, really was one of the biggest factors to push me to starting the YouTube. Y'all, I have on the clairvoyant, the he will never emotionally fulfill you, Allison Dubois, before there was an Allison Dubois. He is smart, funny, witty. He's a producer. He is a writer. He's wrote about some of your faves. Y'all welcome Carlos J. Harris.
Let me tell your audience something. As soon as we get on Zoom, we start talking. I'm like, hold on, we got a whole stuff back for the press play.
Carlos had to get me together, y'all, because I was getting ready to go for it. And he was like, press play.
Press play, because we got a lot to talk about in a great way. We've had so much Bravo news within the last week.
Come on.
That's Monday. You know, it's like, I'm just excited and I'm happy to speak about the future of Bravo, where 3 to 5 years where the network will be, because I do think there is hints of truth in Andy.
Me too.
We're going to talk, you know, let's.
All right. So let's, and y'all, Carlos, I have Carlos to thank. I know y'all probably heard me mention, me and Rodney mentioned Carlos. This is the Carlos that was instrumental in getting us together at BravoCon. He was instrumental in helping set up the recording. So I just want to thank you so much for that. I said I was texting Carlos, like, where is he? I don't see him. What he got on? Tell me where he is. So for those of y'all that watch Cousin Rodney, this is the Carlos that Rodney mentioned.
I know, right?
And Erica too. Shout out to the diva.
I love the fact that we are just so cool with each other and we all.
In a real way. behind the Zoom.
It's not just, you know, fictitious fool-a-la online. Mm. It's like we actually care and support. Because I send him stories too, like, yep. Child, you see this? And da, da, da. So it's like, you know, because it's, it feels good to see good people win, especially when you know they put in hard work. Because it's a lot of hard work. It's not just press play, Zoom, you got to edit and everything. So this is not easy.
And I appreciate you. That's the one thing I said, that you are such a good human because you want to see people win. That is your thing. It's not just about holding information. Y'all, Carlos has poured into me so much over the last, what, year and a half that we've been talking. So, and like he said, we are truly like behind the scenes outside of Zoom and YouTube and all of that. So I can literally text. I will get up at 6 or 7 my time and send Carlos a message. Y'all, it is 3 o'clock. It's not 3 or 4. Or he'll send me something and he'll know if I'm out driving, doing the rideshare things. Y'all know, oh, she's going to respond back when she get to it, or vice versa. If I send him something, I'm like, oh, I know he's working. So I'm so glad to have you here. So you touched on something. So you sent me the article about Andy. In Touch had reported that he was in negotiations to get a payout, basically to leave Bravo. So then I saw people were like, is he leaving? Is he not? Is this satire? What is it? But I am of the same mindset as you. I do believe, just like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. I believe they put out stories sometimes to see what the audience reaction will be. Hence Giselle saying in the reunion, I can't wait till after the reunion with the Twitter. So either she could have either A, maybe she thought the audience would be on her side, or she just thought Candace was going to go on Twitter because Candace was her voice was suppressed at the reunion, because we know that the network called and told her not to speak up. So then Giselle says, I can't wait to see the tweet. So that was, to me, that's all, that's still like you're baiting her. I know that you can't say what you want to say, but guess what? She's going to, you know, come after me on social media. So I do think that they put stuff out to gauge what the audience is thinking. So what do you think?
Of course. And I first heard this, I can't remember the podcaster. This was like a year and a half ago. This was before, I'll say a year ago, not a year and a half ago. This was before like the lawsuit, the rumblings and stuff. This was thinking last summer. And the person said, they've heard that Andy will, in the next coming years, Andy will slowly transition out and Kate Chastain will move in. Notice now.
We heard that same thing. I listened to that same.
And Kate is super popular in the Below Deck, and Below Deck is the, you know, highest rated network show on Bravo. Mm-hmm. You know, she does have a lot of cachet. And I think people get, you know, we get in this bubble because Bravo is so housewife heavy and known. Yes. Four housewives. However, when Brandy made the accusation and said, oh, well, Andy and Kate called me, I was like, I thought about what that person said. I said, I can see that. And Kate was on Traders and she came back.
Yep.
I think Kate and Andy are good friends offline. I truly think so.
I believe so, too. And she had a 3-show deal with Bravo. She's the one that created Chat Room. And if you notice, the after deck shows, like how some of the old cast members are sitting, like they're creating their own after shows for Below Deck, but it's on Bravo, not on Peacock, like the other after shows. So I can see that.
I do see that, because let's think about it, people. Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
Well, OC was what, 2009?
Yes. Because what is it? How many years now it's been? 2009 would make it 16 years. No, it's longer. Yeah. 15, around that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, Andy has been on the forefront since 2009. That's a long time. He has kids. It just makes sense to slowly, not saying that he's not going to be on Bravo forever, but I do think my theory, which I told you, I said, I do think he will pull back from something. Maybe Kate will start to guest host Watch What Happens Live. A lot of people don't watch that show. So it's easy to slowly transition her, or she can do Below Deck reunions. it's like there is a place for Kate. And a buddy of mine, Chris Dickey, he said, I wouldn't mind seeing a woman in that role. You need to switch it up. And I also do think that the timing of that article is very, it has weight to it, because I do think that the Housewives franchise are in this like transition. Uh-huh. Remember a few years ago, they used to churn them out. Like they would get, as soon as the last episode of Reunion aired, a month later through their pickup cameras. And I do think a lot of that has led to the cast generally not liking each other.
Okay.
This is the group of, well, now that we've moved past the original ensembles of all these cities, now you're just, you know, plucking in acquaintances and friends or make
diversity hires.
Yes, or we're performing friendship and girlfriendhood on the show. However, I don't really care for her, but this filming schedule is so bam, bam, bam that, hence, look at Potomac, you know? I mean, let's be real and look at, even with just the incessant filming, that's how the OG Housewives of New York got played out.
Right.
Going and going and going and going. And then I do think that now they've slowed down. Like this is an area where all we have is what, Jersey coming up?
Yep, in and May.
Very in and out. They give you a good 10 episodes, 2 episode reunion in, you know.
No, yeah.
Jersey
yeah.
is very, very,
yes.
It's like a conveyor belt almost, how Jersey
yes.
is.
Yes.
Yeah, they come in, have a little, you know, go to the shore, you know, it's almost like rope, almost, but we love it. But I do think that show is in a transition. I think after this season, Melissa's out, Margaret's out. I do think those two are out.
You really do.
Teresa's, as long as she's married to that man, no, the cameras are not dropping for Teresa.
Okay. Why do you think Margaret and Melissa out of everybody?
Well, no one wants to see, granted they film separately, and I'm quite sure they filmed as a group towards the end or the finale, but Andy said itself on his show, it's like two shows in one.
Yes.
No one wants to see that, you know? And it's like, Jersey isn't a show inundated with a lot of friends, like Miami. Miami is like a kid in a candy store. It's Miami is literally like three shows in one, but they all get along, so it works.
And they're cohesive. It's like all the shows flow right into each other. Yes,
yeah, but Jersey is so like cut down the middle, and I don't think Marge and Teresa filmed at all together. Yeah, that's what I heard. I'm not sure. Yeah, so if you're at a stalemate and they're not budging, we already know Melissa and Teresa, we're not even looking for that. I'm even surprised that she even came back. It's like, what are we trying to milk? There's nothing there, you know?
And if you don't get along, I feel like you should still have to film together, but then that could create a hostile work environment in certain franchises. But what do you think about Bravo actively was okay, even though they did it, made it two shows in Jersey, but with Potomac, they didn't do that. It was, we can't move forward, we can't do this. Andy said the show wasn't sustainable that way, but then he came back kind of and said something different. So I find it interesting that with Jersey, they seemed more willing to film.
I know
two
why.
Shows.
Jersey, the husbands.
Okay.
More outliers. They have the kids.
Okay.
They have Teresa's daughters, Melissa's daughters going to college. The husband's our show.
Okay.
That's why they can film more. They can say, okay, at least we can, our filming schedule can be filled and replaced with all of this.
Got you.
It's just this.
Okay.
Eddie not filming, Chris not filming.
Right.
Husband not filming. Yeah.
Right. No, okay.
So it's, Potomac feels so insular, and when they don't get along, it makes it super hard to watch. And I can imagine showing up to work. Say you work in a office, and it's 8 cubicles in a room, and you have to be there up to 10 hours a day. Mm-hmm. And you all have to collectively work as a group. And half of the side is talking to the other side. That's emotionally draining.
Yes, it is. And for your mental health, it's, I can't even imagine.
I cannot imagine. You know, so, you know.
All right. So speaking of Potomac, we are going to jump right into the reunion part three. One of the things that I like about our relationship is that we talk about every single thing. So we have had conversations about the colorism conversation and what you've experienced within your family and your community. Y'all, if y'all have not listened or watched the old episodes that I have with Carlos, go back in, type Carlos Harris or Carlos J. Harris in either YouTube or in for the podcast. If you go to Apple or wherever you listen in the search bar and type in someone's name, if they've been on a podcast and their name has been like in the title or what have you, they will, it'll come up. So we've had some colorism conversations. I want to talk about the reunion, but first I want to talk about NECA. What did you call it? Her what?
Before her album rollout. It's given album. You know how when Nicki Minaj had the Queen era rollout?
Yes, yes.
It was a lot of beef. It's like, it's given album rollout. It's like, what's all this press? Because girl, I'm quite sure you was fired 3 weeks ago.
Right. So what is the so her recent interview, she was on The Shade Room. The Shade, they brought up the conversation, colorism, where Wendy said the cast doesn't have the range, which I saw some comments and they articulated what I was thinking. She wasn't talking about they didn't have the range as in education wise. She meant as in before you can have a conversation, you have to acknowledge what role you may play in said thing that we're talking about. But if you're refusing to acknowledge it, if you're crying, Robin, at the mere mention of the word, then we can't have, you don't have the range to have the conversation. So NECA mentions she feels like Robin is one that has the range. And she said on the show, Robin talked, which we didn't see, which is interesting. Robin talked about being the victim of colorism, and she prayed that her kids would be dark skinned so they wouldn't have to face what she went through. Then she did a tweet and delete. Let me pull it up. Shout out to my girl. And I hope I'm saying it right. It's either Lay Antoinette, or I'm going to call her Antoinette Crudup. So shout out to my girl. We've been talking on the DMs and in the YouTubes and things. She sent me the tweet. It said, to the same extent that reverse racism exists, so does reverse colorism. Please look it up.
You know, you told me to hold my laughing, right?
Okay. Yes.
So you've known me long enough to know that. You know when Rodney say, don't play in my face?
Yeah.
This is, I say, like, when you send me that clip and she was on The Shade Room, I didn't listen because I already knew, A,
yep.
You're in The Shade Room. So that tells me already your brand, your mentality, your character. I don't need to hear it. But when I saw that post, that reverse colorism and reverse racism, sometimes I don't like always being right in my clairvoyance. I really don't. I really, really don't. And I always go back to this. When they were on stage at BravoCon and she was talking, and then I saw some of her red carpet things with Charisse, I said, something is very inauthentic. It gives flop. And I said it, 10/19/2023 on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I don't like to always like see people for who they are off the bat. But to me, her sitting down with The Shade Room, like, you have got to be kidding me. Gotta be kidding me. And for her to even, believe that Robin said she prayed for, I told you this, Robin prayed for dark-skinned sons. When Robin's parents are both mixed race or biracial, Robin is, 53%, 58%?
Yes.
Don't play with me. Don't, for her to even repeat that, I was like, yo, what? So she, you believe that she believes that? And Juan is light skinned. What? That's when I got upset. I said, see, this is what I said was a flop. You're not going to get two dark skinned kids if both of your parents are biracial and mixed race, it's not happening. And your partner is light skinned. We're not. Okay. You know, I can go on a tangent.
And she said, Robin talked about it on the show. It was like, are you repeating something that they told you that didn't get aired? Or did she actually, I don't believe, I'll say this. Did Robin use the word colorism? Because she couldn't even sit on the couch and have the word mentioned without squeezing out a tear.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Did you know that you can change what you taste by what you hear? How can you use sound to make a deeper connection with your clients? Can we be healed with sound? Sound influences people in their buying decisions and their daily lives. In the podcast Audio Branding, I explore all of this, both with my own observations as a voice actor of over 15 years and by interviewing knowledgeable professionals in the field of advertising, marketing, music, and science. To have a listen for yourself, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com.
Listen, I don't know karate, but I know biology. You know, and I just don't like when people say stupid stuff on platforms.
Right. That's like two white people saying that. Oh, I'm praying for a dark skin child.
Yes. I mean,
it can, there's cases in the genetics we know that it could happen, but come on.
In the words of Erica De Niro, I cannot wait till she go back to being a private citizen.
Whatever Erica says, make them a private citizen again.
I cannot wait because I just can't believe that she sat there and said that. And then to post that reverse colorism because Robin was teasing, it's like by very definition.
Come on, say it.
Very definition. Colorism is the prejudice and structures against all dark-skinned people across all race and all ethnicities. There is colorism in every race and ethnicity. You know, it is. Indian, yeah. You have Indian, South Asian. Yeah. You know, it's like, we're not going to play this game. So for her to even, her as a dark-skinned woman to center.
Thank you.
I'm like, it ain't that much Bravo check. Friendship in the world, I promise you.
Thank you.
Like, it's not. It's like she looks like the fool.
Yeah.
I hate that for her. I really hate that for her. I'm like, why would you repeat something that doesn't make sense?
That's the part. But was something that you said, as a dark-skinned woman on this show, this woman is bringing up colorism that even if you didn't want to equate it to your cast, even if you wanted to say this is a really important topic that I do believe we should all strive to be able to have the conversation about, whatever, for you to center Robin, even though she named Karen, she said she named Karen. I was like, girl, but then she basically named her whole cast. But I was like, when she told the story about Robin, it blew my mind. Like,
it's not there.
When you found out before, as we're watching part three, part two, we heard Giselle say, I was told she would be talked to, meaning Candace. So some of us kind of had an idea, well, maybe going into this reunion, why Candace was quiet, or we were speculating that she may be with Childs. Congratulations. Shout out to you, Candy Gal and Chris and baby and Mama Dorothy, because you know that's going to be Mama Dorothy's baby too. and her sister. I think her sister's name is Crystal, but Candace coming out saying with E! News that she was told to kind of pull back and not be as vitriolic, did you already think that watching three? Because all across the board, whether you are a Candace fan or not, the conversation was Candace seems to be a little different on this reunion. She's not responding to a lot, but Giselle is amped up.
I didn't pick up on she was, before Giselle said, I was told she was going to get spoken to as if she's a damn, you know, maid.
Come on.
like a whole grown ass people here. Anyway, I read it.
Come on.
Candace was like checked out.
Yeah.
You know, because I go back to what I told you when we filmed last fall. Candace said, this was worse. This filming this
yes,
season.
Yes, she did.
Worse than season 5.
She said it.
She said it. And I told you, I said, I said for her to say that, and she's on her way out.
I remember you sure did, because we were like, how could it, unless you physically fighting all of them, how could it possibly be worse? And that she did say that.
Came out, and I said, oh, I get it. They were working overtime to give the little Three's Company come knock on my door. But anyway, you know, Rocky picked up on it very early.
Yes, he did.
I said, then when, and I went back and watched it. And then when Giselle said it, so Candace is getting penalized because people are lying on her and her home and her husband. So she has to monitor what her response is because the other team isn't as prolific with their words or fast or can't read. So she's penalized because they can't read.
Do you remember last season when Robin said on that reunion couch, because I said, I got to find the clip and pull it. We all do it. She's just better at it than we are. Robin said that out of her mouth, which makes me feel like, well, we already knew that Giselle was the big, you know, they say Candace is sensitive, but Giselle is the most, to me, sensitive out of them all.
Oh, yeah, she is. And I'm going to tell you, and I think I told this to you offline, the reason why a Robin and especially like a Giselle, they aren't quick and fast with their words and don't know how to read. I'll use Giselle, how she looked and her background, her class and privilege. She's never had to be defensive. Everything has always had to fold into her. So she's never had to be bullied or try, you know, on the playground where you learn how to read and or be, I'll say be quick, because reading is like gay culture. But I'll say be quick and joining and snapping back. She's never had to do that. She's the off chances here and there, but typically wherever room she was in, and plus she was the pastor's wife. So she's always had people fold into her. She's never had to sharpen up her skills and learn how to read, you know, be quick and stuff. She just never had to. So now she's what, 40 plus, and saying all these things, all these lies, and then she's expecting Candace to again monitor or filter how she's responding back to her. So it's Candace's fault that she's calling you what you are. Calling you a liar.
Remember last season when she was like, Candace hasn't even apologized to me?
For what?
So like you said, she's used to people folding into her.
Yes, because of white supremacy, closeness, you know, all that. And again, to bring up Rodney the Voice, he made another good point. He said, she knew that Candace had been spoken to. So that's why she had all this energy. Yes. She spoke most on this reunion than she's had in the last 7 reunions. So she had a lot of energy and just heat and just feeling like, ha, 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 you know?
And we know it because in scene, she wouldn't talk. One example, when Wendy said, what y'all talking about? And she made that face and looked over, because you can't keep up, or you're afraid they're going to say something to you that you won't be able to recover from. So you had no energy in scene during the show that you're supposed to be filming, because whether y'all are arguing or not, we still want to see interaction. But you had all this smoke at the reunion.
And another thing too, with to kind of go back to my point about Robin and Giselle. Now, Karen, the reason why Karen knows how to read and be quick, yes, she has light skin privilege. Yes, she gives other, but Karen wasn't seen as a beautiful, stunning woman.
Got you.
Growing
up on the farm, Surrey County, she knows a little bit about having to pull herself up a little bit.
Exactly.
Yes.
She has the class background that Giselle did.
Yes.
To a certain point and be equipped, put an armor. So that's why she's
right.
She can do that, and they can't. So
you're right. That is so good. I love that line about people having to fold into Giselle, which is why she doesn't know how, because even season 5 reunion, when Wendy, they talked about Giselle's fashions and Wendy was like, she has pretty girl syndrome. And she's like, oh, I'm pretty. It's like, girl, come on.
Yeah, I wouldn't even say that. And Candace did it too a few times. Like, well, she's pretty. I'm like, you don't need to tell her that. The world tells her, she already knows it.
She already knows it.
Don't give her that. If she was a humble, you know, a different person, basically.
Yeah.
Her flowers, but she moved through the world with that. You don't have to tell her that.
Right.
As a dark skinned woman, it's like, girl, don't, you know, I'm like, you don't. Like Blue Ivy, we don't.
He said we don't.
It's like the world validates her. She's moved through her entire life with the world and men and some women validating her.
Right.
You don't need, especially when you know she may not like me back then. You know?
Right, but, right.
Don't do that. I'm sorry, you don't.
And then, so when you think about like next season lineup, we haven't had any more announcements. We have, but we know we have the Giselles. We know we have, we'll go ahead and call a thing, Karen, those two, right? I think about Mia, and I know people are excited for Mia to be the face. I am nowhere near. I'll give you your flowers for what you did, but it's giving Love and Hip Hop / Basketball Wives to me. And I don't want to see that in my housewife stuff.
See, I don't, you know, and the last time I was on here, I think the last two times we spoke about the Potomac, I told you I was starting to see Mia's utility. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I see her because she's like a, not a mini Karen, but she's very tongue in cheek. Her lies are like, they're funny. It's like, they're not hurting people.
Yes.
She's
yes.
Herself. And that's a whole different thing. I get that. So, okay, I see her. And she ended up performing. See, I think her performance excelled this season because no one else did anything.
Come on.
It's like, well, it's almost like if you're running track and everyone's skipping and you're running, well, everyone else is skipping.
By default, congratulations. Here's your gold medal.
By default. Like, so when, you know, Carlos King said, she's the future. I was like, all right, here we go. There, I need to focus on own. She's not the future. She's promising. The thing with, I think sometimes when we critique things, to me, in my opinion, live on the spectrum.
Okay.
A barometer.
Okay.
Everybody is not 100 out the gate.
Yeah.
Now you still have a Karen here that was, you know, it's like you can't, no. Mia isn't the future. Mia is a good B character. And that's okay.
Yeah, because we need B characters.
Yes.
Because I liked when Mia was getting the girls together, like Giselle and Robin reaching out for lunch. And she's like, I'll have my assistant put you on the schedule. But then she let Giselle punk her in that Versace.
But you know, white woman, light skinned woman on light skinned woman. So I saw that for what it was, because they would never let a Candace and Wendy give that to them.
You're right.
And you remember when last season Giselle pulled Mia aside?
Yes.
She was like, oh, I apologize.
Yes. And she was, when they were at Candace's town, home, I think she was moving, and she was like, Giselle, don't you ever do that again. Who else has she given that energy to like that?
It's light-skinned woman to light-skinned woman. They see each other.
Yeah. I was really annoyed at Mia trying to tell Candace, you can't say X, Y, and Z, or, well, I guess a drink will be thrown. It's like, I am so tired of hearing people say, in regards to Candace, and I've said it so many times, but even in life, if you live by talk-ish, get hit, run your mouth, you get hit, then why are we not calling for Mia, Giselle, Robin, even Karen Karen called, remember when they were, how many seasons ago was it? And Karen called Robin the dizziest bee at the table. And Robin was like, wait a minute, what happened? So if we're living by that, then all of them should have got their heads knocked clean off of their shoulders. Why is it just Candace's response? You and I've said before, and I had somebody on Twitter say, we can absolutely judge Candace's responses, or on Instagram. Yes, you can judge them, but what you can't do is tell her how to respond. And I find it interesting that we're policing and judging responses and not the catalyst for the response.
Another shout out to Rodney. We always start in the middle when it comes to Candace.
And not at the beginning.
It's like, okay, you can do the response, but what happened?
People were talking about, they were dogging Miss Dorothy. She this, she that, she messed Candace up. I said, Ashley's mom chose to live under a bridge with a man over getting on her feet and taking care of her child. Ashley's mom told her to do what she had to do to get back with Michael, a couple of seasons ago. And she was telling her, you might want to do this. Ashley's mom has thrown her to the wolves with Michael. But we never say Miss Sheila has done Ashley a disservice. Mm-mm. Why is that?
And Miss Sheila ain't got two pans.
Nor in a window. And she might not even have to piss to throw it up.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did anyone call Deborah's actions aggressive? Did anyone? I just thought about that. Anyone?
No. Because okay. Even Mia didn't use the word aggressive, did she? She just said she had that energy.
Yeah. But again, it's like, do they talk? They talk to Candace and cheer like she's a little girl. Yes, Candace is petite, but she's a grown woman. Back to my point. I didn't recall anyone saying that Deborah act aggressively towards Candace
or ferocious
or anything, even with the tape that the video that we saw and her leaning all on throwing the drink. That is so you're gonna tell me somebody who's bigger than me in stature leans over, tries to get in my face. I turn around, I say no, turn around, they pour a drink on me. So I'm supposed to stand there and say, why did you do that to me?
When I tell you, she is lucky that I have told my kids when they were growing up, if somebody is in your space, because, you know, we were sometimes some people you hear, let them hit you first. They might hit you and you might not recover or you may not see it coming. So I have always told my kids, if you're in a heightened situation, if you can get away, do it. But if somebody comes in your space and you feel backed into a corner, do what you got to do first. And I'm just being honest, because so to me, they are lucky, or Deborah is lucky, that when Candace says no, you come up to me aggressively and standing over me, she's lucky that Candace didn't immediately, I fear for my life, like Giselle with her bodyguard, and just crack her right in her face right then. She's lucky that because it could. And that's the thing. It's like they're not even looking beyond, like, you know what could have happened? Kiana got cut in her face. That could have been so much worse. And when Giselle was like, I immediately blame everyone involved and threw Wendy in there.
I would have chuckled about Wendy. Like, girl, I know you don't like me, but girl, you sound a fool.
You're reaching. You are literally reaching.
Speaking of Wendy, you know, I predicted NECA, Ashley, friend of, you know, I enjoy Wendy. I think she's a solid B character. Maybe sometimes she leans towards C. I don't want her on the show for her own happiness, her personal happiness. These women do not like you.
Yes, come on.
I'm thinking about her as a person. I'm also thinking about the actual cast dynamic. She really doesn't have any friends, in quotes.
Yeah.
There. So it makes no sense, but I'm not sure if Bravo will try to course correct and keep Wendy, because they're like, oh, we got to keep a dark skin one. We don't want
I would it. Just get ready to say, because of this conversation.
Yeah.
And however, Candace now leaving.
However, when she first announced her departure, Candace, I said, I hope Bravo gives Giselle her wish. Make it an all light skin cast. Let them cannibalize and tear each other up. Do it. Do it. If that makes her happy, do it. Do it.
Let Karen get her aesthetically pleasing cast.
Do it. Because I just don't want to see another season of Wendy, the fakeness, the icing out. Even if, okay, we come to a solution, it's going to be fake because you know they don't like
you. Down, they don't like you. Yeah.
Honestly, it doesn't make sense for her to be on the show without Candace.
Yeah. And for y'all, those of y'all wondering, when I said let Karen have her aesthetically pleasing cast, if you don't remember, she said Wendy doesn't fit the aesthetic. And what's interesting is when Giselle said that on Bravo's chat room. So Giselle, y'all, was on the Bravo chat room with Portia and Hannah and Kate Chastain. And she said that Karen said that Wendy didn't fit the aesthetic of the group. I didn't immediately believe her because we know that Giselle has straight up lied, not added sauce, that she has straight up lied. And I will keep screaming this from the rooftop. And I'm going to even go find, I said I was going to find the podcast episode it was and post it, that one of the producers on Potomac said that Giselle basically gets it wrong. We'll call him and say, did you hear such and such? And he'll have to tell her that didn't happen. So I didn't believe Giselle. But then when Karen was like, when Wendy confronted her about it, and Karen was like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said it, I want to move on. It was like, girl.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
Because what could you possibly mean? You can't mean her education. You can't mean, and let me tell you something. I'm just going to say this. These, and Brooke Ashley has said it, she's seen it too. These Facebook groups about these housewives, what these white women say about Candace and Wendy, I refuse. Sure. I'm like, there is no way I'm having a conversation like this with them about somebody who looks like me. I just, it is insane to me. So for Karen to say Wendy doesn't fit the aesthetic, she didn't say she doesn't fit the structure. She didn't say she doesn't have the credentials because she couldn't. She said aesthetic, and aesthetic is how you look. Visual.
Child, she and
Miss Karen gets away with it because Miss Karen, but yeah.
That was tired. I remember when she said that. I'm like, girl, but you don't have nothing. Like, well, if you're gonna pull out a piece of paper and we're gonna go, it's gonna end at higher education.
Yes, right. So please, that's not come for Wendy. Girl. I was listening to the old ladies first panel. So shout out to Nisi, Jamie, and Bondi. I love that panel. And I think Bondi or one of them said, what was going on with Auntie Karen at the reunion?
I saw that.
Yelling. She would just say stuff randomly, like, yes, yes.
I saw that. I was into the episode. Yes. Yeah.
I was crying out because when I started thinking back, I was like, she was somewhere else.
And I love, like, I don't watch Bonnie Blue all the time, but I love, like, in her Potomac reviews and sometimes the panel when I catch it. I love that because she's from New Orleans, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Again.
Come on.
You're not going to tell me you don't know about colorism, Giselle Bryant, when you live in Creole Mecca, aka New Orleans.
I love when Bondi gives that perspective because she's in New Orleans and she knows.
You know, it's like, we are not going to, it's like, when people like blatantly lie, especially when there's footage.
Come on.
I'm so glad that you posted that clip from their old episode. But there's so much footage and just factual information. You're not going to tell me that if I grew up in New Orleans and I have two light-skinned mixed race parents and I come out with sandy blonde hair. Not blonde, because that's dyed.
Yeah.
Green eyes. light skin, society praises me for how I look, you're not going to tell me I'm going to wait till I'm 50 plus to feign everything that I just feign ignorance when it comes to anything, when it comes to colorism or a color spectrum or being light skinned. We are not, it's like the fact that she sat up there and lied and acted as if she was so ignorant to the issue. But when season one, Katie, and I'm so glad more people, I'm so glad that the general audience is now getting it outside of like you, myself, Rodney, Erica, Brooke. Like when people's general audience starting to like collectively see like, oh, she's a liar. They're all liars. So I'm happy when everyone else catches up. That's what I'm like, okay, that's when I feel like this season and this reunion, everyone progressed at the same time. Everyone's at the same
point. Okay.
They're liars. Giselle's a liar.
Yeah, like, because to me, again, when you go back to season one and hear her say, my father had crosses burning in the, or, you know, in the every day and this happened, it's like, and I've heard people use the argument, what do you mean? Giselle is very aware, meaning she can't be colorist, or she's very aware of all this because she worked in the NAACP. Yep. You don't really know the like.
When they were all light skinned. Okay.
Come on. Rosa Parks and Claudette Colvin. Come on.
You're not about to do this. That's why I only can have conversations with certain people, because I can't teach you at the same time I'm debating you.
And that's it right there. It's bringing that up. I screenshot this to you, and I said it on one of my YouTube channels, but I wanted to read it to y'all again. And I talking, you know, about the Giselle and the privilege. And when we say sometimes they lighter skinned Black people get privileges of a Black women get privileges of a white woman. One of my biggest pet peeves in life is people trying to speak on something. People trying to tell you something about what you may have experienced, but what they have not, right? Or, and it's one thing, if we're talking culturally, right? Me and Carlos have talked about light skin privilege, reverse colorism. Carlos is a handsome light skin man. So we've had real conversations about that. But if Carlos was a white man, you're not getting ready to come over here and tell me what I, as a Black woman, should know in regards to color. And so I sent this to Carlos because we're talking about the thing. So y'all, I posted the clip of NECA on the Shade Room talking about Robin being able to speak to colorism. My caption actually said nothing about colorism. What it was saying was Candace and Robin, this is NECA on the Shade Room. They asked her who could speak to colorism. I did say that. She said Robin. I said, interesting, Robin and Candace had the same prayer with regards to. But Candace's was, I pray not to have light-skinned children. Robin's was, I pray to have dark-skinned children. Right. One could argue they didn't like the way Candace worded it. I got what she meant, but I'm also willing to say, okay, I can. If I was a light-skinned person, I might at first be like, huh? But then, because you got what she was trying to say, right?
I got what she was saying. She was, because I think, especially if it's a girl, there's a lot of stories out there where a dark-skinned Black woman has a biracial child and a child comes out lighter and hair different, and just like seeing how the world treats her daughter's experience vastly different. And also too, it's that, oh, this is your child? This is your child?
Yes.
My mom got that, her and mom, I got it. It's weird because the older we get, the more we come into our consciousness.
Yes.
I remember one day it hit me. And even when I was a baby, they asked at the hospital, it's your baby. Like all through our entire life. Even I would get it. She would come to my school, that's your mom? I mean, granted, she was young, but like, that's your mom, so different. And it's like, they just expected, I don't know what they expected. But I think when it's a woman having a daughter, she's light skinned or has curly hair, her features are different or closer to her dad, her life will be vastly different. It'll be a lifetime of questions like, that's your mom. That's like, she will.
Yes.
So Candace doesn't want that.
And Bondi talked about those of y'all who listen, Bondi Blue, she talked about, she's from New Orleans. She talked about her experience because when you look at Bondi, Bondi said people consider her light skin, which I do too. But with her living in New Orleans, she's like, I'm not light skin, but her mom is dark skin. And she said her dad taught her to look for, like, look at how people treat your mom versus mm-hmm. how they treat you. So mm-hmm. she was able to see that. And like you said, Candace doesn't want to go through that. Yeah. So I posted that clip about Robin, blah, blah, blah. And I had a woman, when I tell you I was on fire and I had to like backspace, rethink, because again, I cannot teach you when I'm arguing with you. But at this point, this is not even going to be a teachable moment, for not for me. So a white woman, y'all, says on the, and let me go back. This is why I say, I had somebody use an example. It was a white woman and she used an example to me. We were talking about Salt Lake City and the example was, well, if my family was out to dinner and we had a black waitress and they told her you're pretty for a black girl, then that would be wrong. I said, you're talking to somebody who's gotten that my life. So like that kind of stuff is like, you're not schooling me on, I am the black woman that you're speaking of. Right. Yeah. So I had this white woman comment and say, light skinned black women in parentheses, mm-hmm. my cousin experience colorism as well. Obviously, dark skinned people do also. Just look at Dominican cultures where darker skinned people are openly called slurs. Then there are light skinned women who are targeted and beat up every day after school because they're light skinned. You have to hold space for both sides. Now, you know, I have a problem with somebody telling me what I have to do when they're not even involved in the culture, don't know what's going on. So my response back to her, because I had to like, was, I'm very aware of how light-skinned people can be treated poorly because they are light-skinned. As a black woman with black family and black friends of all different shades. Side note, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I had two cousins down south, I'll just say, and not first cousins, but they were twins. One was your complexion. One was a little bit darker than Candace.
Oh, wow.
Sorry, the one that was darker, that was a little bit dark. One was Wendy's complexion, I'll say that. Had silky black coal hair. The one that was lighter skin did not. But yet and still, they were treated probably different. I'll just leave it there. My mother-in-law had a sister who was very light skin, a little bit lighter than you. My mother-in-law is probably my complexion, maybe half a shade darker. I just learned recently, last year or the year before, that when they went to a certain family member's home, she had to sit on the enclosed back porch and eat, my mother-in-law. And so they weren't allowed to go. Like, her mom was like, yeah. Yeah. So that's like, so yeah. Carlos, oh, no. When she told me, I was about to be, where are they? I mean, they're a long way before me, right? But yeah. So I told her, so holding space for both is an issue for me. However, we should be using correct terminology. Then I just went into, by definition, what colorism was, right? So I said, by definition, colorism is the preference of lighter skin over dark skin. Prejudice against people with dark skin. That's in the definition. It's specific to preferring light skin over dark skin. So there's no reverse colorism. However, like I said, I do know light skin people who have been treated badly because of the simple fact that they are light skin, which is not cool and not okay. Because I want people to understand I'm not invalidating your experience. Then she responds back, and this is what got me. See, I didn't know that. And I was just telling my friend today how I wish there was a place to go to learn about colorism. You came into my comment section with your whole chest as a white woman trying to tell me about light-skinned women experiencing colorism. And then when I tell you what the definition is, I didn't know that. Just earlier today, I was talking to a friend about wanting to learn about colorism. Then she said, I have seen colorism firsthand. What do you call it when a lighter skinned woman is treated poorly due to the color of their skin? I legitimately don't know. Where can someone go to get this info?
Let me tell you. And when you sent me that, we had the discussion.
Wait, I went on a how many minute voice note rant? I sent you like three back to back.
This was perfect because I mentioned an old tweet that I posted.
Yes, you did.
I had an old tweet, guys, and it said, this is from early last year or late 2022. I said, no light-skinned person on earth that's breathing has experienced colorism by very definition. It went haywire. So haywire, the fact that it landed on the Neighborhood Talk, sent me the clip, and I said, that's the last place I want my content. So I took my tweet down. I'm just not for me.
Oh my gosh.
I need people to stop correlating being teased for being light-skinned or called Casper with reverse colorism. That's not it. Because as a light-skinned person, you have more privilege. And then when you add featureism, if you have lighter eyes, you have small lips, you have a sharp nose, you have curly hair, you have more cachet in society and within your own, you know, Black culture, Black, you know, neighborhood, whatever, you have more cachet as a light-skinned person. So you are not going to tell me I was teased, I was called Casper, that's reverse colorism. It's not.
And even if you were bullied, that's unacceptable, but it's still not.
It's like, so when people even come to me, I'm not even going to respond. I can't, because I will feel dumb. Because it's like, that's not true. Like, I've heard of a white woman, like, girl, what are you even talking about? Like,
why are you even here? But I've seen this particular person post about Cardi B using the N-word and how y'all get upset and how y'all shouldn't. Well, she locked her comments on that. And I said, oh, she's one. Okay.
But the Cardi B thing, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yes.
If I live in New York or have lived in New York like myself, I can speak to that because I know.
Exactly. But you were not a white woman.
Yeah.
Thinking that you're coming in on a conversation. Because even all Black people aren't speaking to that. Some are, some aren't. But even if we all were, we can.
Speaking to what you know makes your voice so powerful. Because you know what you're talking about. And conflating teasing and hardship, or I grew up rough with reverse colorism, that's not it.
And then you have NECA, a beautiful dark-skinned Black woman, a lawyer sitting on the shade TV, well, sitting on the Shade Room, sitting on X, tweeting out that there's reverse racism and reverse colorism.
Well, you know, all lawyers aren't smart because we have Phaedra Parks. No, that notion has been thrown out the window. I'm so happy that she is in her full self, her IG baddie 2013.
City girls up 1000.
Yes. I guess. But that, to me, that's who she's always been.
Yes, yes.
So I clocked it season one. I said, this is not her.
Remember that bathing suit she had? And then Kenya mocked the baby. Remember she had that? It's like, like, you don't just, that is a part of you for you to pop out with something like that with all your cheeks out. And it's okay. Yeah. Just be that though.
Thank you.
It is okay. You can love God and have a thong bathing suit. Hello.
But, you know.
Like, anyway. Yeah. So yeah, I saw, oh my gosh, because I want to give credit to where I saw it on a YouTube channel. Oh my gosh. And I can't. Oh, Candace recently did an interview. Mm-hmm. And I believe, I believe I was going to try to look up what the interview was so much.
The guys, correct?
I'm going to break the fourth wall. Thank you. I asked my husband to bring me a 5-hour energy drink and he brought it and he opened it for me. Shout out to my boo, because he knew I was going to need it ASAP. But Candace did an interview and it was really good. Did I send you the clip? Because I meant to send you.
I've seen the clips, but I haven't watched the full interview.
With the guys? Yeah. It was really good. Okay. And it's called, hold on. It was called, child, because I got to slide through these, because now I've been watching these OJ exposés, child. I'm like,
okay, listen.
What was the interview called? Tell me it's here. Okay, it's called Five Disc Changer with special guest Candace Dillard Bissett. Here's the thing. I got so excited about saying that 5-hour energy drink. I don't even know where I was going with that. I was telling you.
From the clips I saw, she's a natural. She's gorgeous.
Yes. She was really good.
She has a career, a life outside of the show. She doesn't need the show.
Yeah.
You know? So
And
she
she was very if you watch it, you know, because it's a music, it seems like a music podcast, but they get into some other stuff. I love some of the stuff that she said about the show. It was really really good. And she just seemed lighter than she has been. And she didn't seem as on guard in this interview. And I like that for her.
Because she's not going back to that hellhole.
Yeah.
Let's be
Yeah.
real. You
So
know?
I definitely appreciated that. I wondered when the interview was done because they didn't mention her pregnancy. So it leads me to believe that it was after she announced that she was leaving, but before she announced
Yeah,
that
most
she was
likely.
pregnant. That's what I'm
Yeah.
thinking. Yeah, oh my God, I was going to tell you something about that podcast. Oh my gosh, it'll come to me. But either way, so with Potomac, what were your final thoughts on the reunion? And if you had to make the cut after seeing the reunion, who would you keep and who would have to go?
Okay. The three part was a dud. It could have been two. It could have been an email. It
Unsubscribe.
email. You know, I could have, read two lines. Like, okay, well, okay,
You
I read.
did it.
Mark this red.
I think I got you? Did I think I read it?
yeah. If I'm working for Bravo, and I have to answer to the higher ups, they not budging with Giselle. Giselle not going nowhere.
No.
Giselle, Aaron, Ashley as friend of, Kiana as a friend of.
Okay.
I don't see a housewife yet. I don't see a housewife.
Oh, you
I
don't see a
mean,
housewife yet.
no, I because we don't know that much about her. We don't
Her.
know if her personal life that we haven't seen would suffice if.
Okay.
Enough. We don't know if she's
Okay.
single. Granted, yes, single women have joined the Housewives, but and yes, Kiana is a businesswoman. She has a very
Okay.
successful business, beautiful. I think she has the elements. I do think she needs a full gear as a friend.
Like a Marlo friend where you're there at all the events. We're getting to know some about your life.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then if she works, once they flesh her out, I'm quite sure they're mood boarding, like, okay, what does she have? Like, what's going
Okay.
on? Her husband, she have kids. Cause you need, cause again, Potomac is so insular.
You
Like
need
you
to.
need, and even with like when Kenya joined joined Atlanta, there were families. There were families. There were the husbands, Apollo, the Gregs, the, even Portia
Right.
had her husband. So, and Cynthia had Peter.
Peter. Peter.
So they were more fuller
So they could
with
bring on a Kenya.
they can, yeah, it is not so like, okay, what's this single woman? She's not really bringing anything but her just being single and being a business owner.
Right.
So I'm thinking that I just think she needs to have, I think it'll be easier for lack of a better word, for her to be digestible to the audience at large if she's a friend of, and then
She
she
eases in. Okay.
that is in. So okay, so that's Giselle, Karen, Ashley, friend of, Kieran, a friend of, Mia, that's five. Bring back Charisse, six as a friend of, guest, and two new people. I think they
Yeah.
at the same time.
Me too. Me too.
Very
At the and not just one.
a la Jersey, a la Potomac, Atlanta, and they brought in
Yes.
Kenya Porsche. I think twos work.
And
Two.
because if we see them pick sides, it'll be interesting to see, like, it won't just be one girl, I gotta go over here because this is the side. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Oh,
Exactly.
that's good. So you said, okay, so Karen, Giselle, Ashley, friend of, Kiana, friend of, bring back Charisse, guest of, and two
Yeah,
new girls.
two people.
But because I thought about Charisse. We didn't see her at the reunion, but yet she was definitely posting before the seat that like official friend of, and we didn't even see her at the reunion. Yeah, Kiana looked absolutely gorgeous. And you're right, and I do think sometimes we'll get caught up in the look, the
Yeah.
beauty, and
Yeah.
she is, but that's not enough to sustain, clearly.
It's not.
Do you see a possibility in which this Potomac train can be righted with Giselle still being on board. Boom.
Honestly, I think the show will move beyond Giselle.
Okay.
If they get it right next season, the show will move beyond Giselle.
Okay.
I think it has already. I think it's starting to.
Okay.
Karen has definitely solidified her role as not just the grand dame, we know that, but a lead, not a co-lead.
Yeah.
It was just her and Giselle, the co's.
Yes.
Even her sitting there, even her chiming in with the one-offs and stuff. And even, I think, a really good moment in part three was Kiana saying how Karen cared for her and rolled
up.
That was a very, very special moment because Karen didn't have to do that.
And remember, Candace used to feel that way about Karen too. So she has that in her.
Yeah, she has it in her. She definitely has it in her. So I do think the train is leaving Giselle. And we don't need Giselle. We don't.
I wonder if the ladies will feel more comfortable coming for her now that she doesn't have a built-in. Because her and Robin together were a team.
Yeah.
And so, and I think along with that, because did you notice when Andy asked Candace the question about her and Robin being friends and basically not being hindered by Giselle, but something to that effect. And Robin was like, oh no, they were friends too. They had their own friendship. Oh, it was about supporting her during the time, which I thought was interesting. Giselle was really upset. She was like, I supported you. But I remember hearing Candace on a podcast after that happened. And she said she wasn't just, for those of you that don't know, she wasn't just saying, because she was mad at Giselle on the reunion, Robin supported me more. She said that season five, because the person asked, who has been the most support to you? And she said, Robin. She calls and texts me pretty much every day. And they said, what about Wendy? And she said, Wendy does too. Wendy does check on me. But Robin was consistently checking on Candace. Yeah. So she didn't say that just for that. But I noticed that Giselle got real like touchy about that. And I think going back to what you said earlier, folding into Giselle, Candace wasn't trying to fold in to Giselle. She was concerned about her friendship with Robin. It was like, I can care less about you lied on my husband. And Giselle's ego, and because she's used to people folding into her, that didn't sit right with her either.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think the train has it. I noticed you didn't mention Mia.
I thought I said Mia.
Oh, you did. Oh, you know what? That was me then. Okay. So full time, Mia, Giselle, Karen, Ashley, friend of, Charisse, guest of, Kiana, friend of, two new people.
Oh, and to Rodney the Voice's point, I need Mia's boyfriend to have a real name.
Come on, because
Rodney said, I don't want to see hoodies and Air Force One. I don't either.
I love a Timberland Butters as much as
there's
the next. But there's a play. I don't want to see them stomping through the blossoms of Potomac.
In the words of Erica De Niro, they're already paddle boats and bloody sandwiches. I don't want to get any more regular.
And now I'm sorry, but not why on our shows? Like, not, come on.
Not regular. Regular.
Regular.
Regular.
and see, that's the thing too with me. It's like, it's almost like you're laughable because, you know, she slithers on through. Jamie, that's me, says she walks like she doesn't want to get dirty. When she said that, I was like, that's it. She walks like she don't want to get dirty. But for you to have them folks in paddle boats eating, it was for you to be at bingo where chickens are pooping off. It was honestly embarrassing. I'm like, how dare you like do that to us?
That's regular. That is the
we regular. Would do have outings better than that. Rodney said, if you live in Potomac, got a nice townhouse, a pair of red bottoms and an Amex, you can be a housewife. I said, here I go. Well, I don't have the red bottoms because I heard they hurt your feet and I have wide feet and I'm not even trying to do that. I don't need a red bottom for that. I have other bottoms, not a red bottom. But he was right. If you got an Amex and a nice townhouse and a you can
they don't have anything that I know people in my family don't have. They have the same stuff.
Come on.
So I'm
looking around my house like, yeah.
I got that.
We can, like, we could do this. Like, sure. I mean, I would never.
We can do this too.
Like, we can do this.
It's like, yeah, it's like, no, like, we need some. The very premise, again, the very premise of Housewives was beyond behind the gates,
behind
aspirational. Aspirational.
And then at this point, I want to see an aspirational. You never want to say couple, like, you can say couples goes, but you don't know what's going on behind them folks. Because there have been times where maybe me and my husband were in a picture, but we were just arguing like a minute before, you know, and people say couples goals or whatever. I get what they mean by that. And when I say aspirational on Housewives, I do want to see husbands supporting their wives, like Wendy, writing Wendy and Eddie, like Chris and Candid. Like, I mean, you know, even though some of his support, because me and my husband were talking about this, when he would be like chastising her in front of them, I didn't like, because it's like, now you, but I do want to see husbands supporting their wives behind the gates. Aspirational. Yeah. And if you're not married and you're a housewife, maybe dates, but like, you shouldn't be like no contract men, Giselle. Because come on, I know she said that, you know, me and Jason agreed, do whatever, whatever.
We
you brought
that
man on the show, which makes me go back to, you introduced that man to your kids. You can do whatever you want, like, understand. But I remember when that season, when her and Jamal were supposed to be back together, and I said, man, it has to be real, because what parents would have their kids along for a plot line? Then I thought about her with Jason, and it could be the same thing. You let your kids know, check this out. This house, this check is taking care of us.
I'm sure she told her kids. I'm quite sure. No one believed it. So when she, you know, Andy asked her a question and she said X, Y, Z, she's like, girl, you know, Andy know that we know.
Come on. We know. Like, you think we're stupid.
I never be like, on there. I'm like, we're not going to do this.
It's a waste of time.
Yes.
Now, y'all have heard Carlos's predictions. Y'all heard what he said. Wendy was not a part of, you know, we love you, professor, but I get like the stress of that. The famousness is not worth your peace of mind. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. And she's so much more outside
of that.
Or so much more. Her and Candace are the only ones who can leave and still have a full success.
Yes.
Be out in the public. Like, they're good.
And even the way the audience talks about her, I get, none of them are perfect, but my God, the way the audience rides her sometimes. Somebody posted, and I'm sure you've seen it on X. Remember after Mia threw the drink on her last season, at the end of the episode, they had Johns Hopkins is not associated. Somebody posted that thinking that was from this year, saying even Johns Hopkins doesn't want to be associated with Wendy. And people were like, baby, go outside, touch something, grass, asphalt, anything.
Again, let's start a higher education. What do you got?
Right.
What you got? Okay.
And when people say Wendy is condescending, I'm going to say this. All of the house, you don't think Giselle has been condescending? You don't think any of these housewives who think they have a little bit of stature, whether it's in looks or anything, can be condescending? So to me, I don't mind it, because you're not going to make me feel no type of way. Or I'm going to have a conversation with you about it.
Everyone else do it. Just like, it's weird. It's weird when Andy asked her, well, a viewer said that you call Mia dumb. Karen called Robin, to your point, the dizziest bitch on the table. So it's like, why are you she's supposed to feel bad for calling Mia dumb. Mia, no, she's not that bright. Like, we're not about the, and I'm glad Wendy didn't cow down and say,
yes.
Like, Mia did say that states, and I'm like, Why that question for her?
Right. Giselle sat in her confessional and said that Monique was dumb and that she spoke trick trash.
Yeah.
She literally sat in a confessional and said that.
I remember.
She was like, she's dumb. She wanted to pluck those contacts out of Monique's eyes. And it's like, why did you think she had contacts, ma'am? And then called her trick trash. Like, come on. Or she speaks trick trash. So we're going to move on to other news, y'all. And if y'all are not watching this show, if y'all watched Vanderpump Rules, y'all have to watch this show. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we agreed we was going to watch as a family. And when I tell you, I watched that before I watched Vanderpump Rules, and I want them to have their own after show. Y'all, we are talking about The Valley. Y'all, please go on Peacock and catch up. I'm telling you, you want like some drama. The Valley is it with Jax, Brittany, and then you have new characters. You have Janet and her husband. I was getting ready to say something so inappropriate, so I'm glad I have to text you that. You have Janet and her husband. Then you have a couple named Jesse and Michelle. And then you have Nia and what's Nia's husband's name? I can't remember.
Nia? I thought Nia was the black girl.
No, Nia is the one that has the three under two. Three kids under two. Her husband. And then we have the black girl, Jasmine.
Oh, Jasmine's her name.
Jasmine. Yeah, Jasmine. And then we have, people have been calling him Wig, a.k.a. Zach, with the hair.
A mess.
Y'all, this show is so good. So for those of y'all that are watching, y'all know who we're talking about. But I'm telling y'all, please, y'all, get into The Valley. Straight off the break, I'm telling you right now, I don't like Michelle. I don't like Janet. Let's go, Carlos.
First of all, I live in The Valley. So I always laugh.
Wait a minute. So do you and your partner need to be on? Who do I need to call for y'all to be on this show next season? Y'all need me.
I'm good. I live in The Valley, and not like the running joke is that when it gets hot in the summer, it's brutal. It's so bad. I can't.
When that air conditioning went up.
I can't even walk three blocks to the gym. That's how high it is. Yeah. But this show, of course, we were all so curious when that first promo rollout.
Yes.
Then the little like toy car.
Yeah.
The cover, like, what the crap? So when I saw that, I said, oh, it's not that good. And everyone thought that it wasn't going to be good. That trailer came out. I said, okay.
Baby, I'm texting Carlos. I love this show.
The one came out. And it's so funny. And yes, Kristen, Jack. And
oh, Brittany, I forgot about Kristen.
Yeah, they haven't been away too long because that was what, 2020, and we're now in 2024.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fact that they are still the same is so funny. And the fact that, which I love, and I think one of the reasons why I love Martha's Vineyard so much is the fact that they are all genuine friends with years long connections. That is the foundation of a successful show.
Yes.
Any show, because conflict is going to be real.
And even if y'all have like not kept, say, the greatest touch in the last year or two, the fact that there was a deep-rooted friendship, you can draw from that.
And even with the friends of with Jasmine and I forgot his other name. Is his name Carl?
Zach.
Zach, of course. Of course. But even with Jasmine and Zach's introductions, you saw old pictures and Kristen said, Jasmine worked at Sir. So I said, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. So it's not abnormal to have to be friends with someone outside the race and just they kind of pluck them on the show.
Yes.
I love that. I said, black girl, been friends for years. Love it. I'm here for it. It's natural. The other couple, Jesse and Michelle. Michelle cannot stand him.
There was a part of me. There was a slight. Like, I'm talking slight, because we've lived long enough to know that to love somebody, and if they don't love you, or even to really like somebody, but they don't like you back that way, that's a hurt feeling.
Yeah.
In last night's episode, this past episode. Not that I felt bad, but I could hear in his voice when he asked her, do you want to work on this? He was like, I do. I want to work on it. And she was like, I don't know if I do. I was like,
she's checked out.
She is so checked out.
He is checked out.
She has already packed up and gone to the Chateau Marmont.
Jack's checked out too.
Let's go. I understand couples go through ebbs and flows. You understand that too. Then sometimes you're like, we got to get back on track.
Yeah.
I think what got me was, so Jackson, Brittany talked about how her and Jax hadn't had sex for over a month. That was one thing. If she had said life and with the bar, but what she said was, he makes me feel bad about how I look. And to me, what that's saying is he's no longer attracted.
That's awful. That is awful.
It's one thing to get off kilter, but you still find your partner attractive, but you like, I'm tired, we mad, we this, we that, whatever.
At the same time, she knows she married.
Come on, what? Come on. We
We're
not about, yeah, you're right. We not about, I think
not
that's why the injections, and we know the boobs, of course, and
Yeah.
all of that.
They're like weighing her down.
Oof.
I feel bad. I'm like,
Me too.
I do think she's gonna get them taken out. I
I
do think
think
she.
so too. Because all the, did you see the cla like someone commented, like it was an article, like somebody commented, like they make you look something, and she's like, wow, what if I came to your page to talk about your boobs? I know they're heavy or something. I'm paraphrasing, but in that moment I thought she's getting ready to do a whole body thing, meaning get them taken out, start work, like some, she's get ready to do something.
Yeah, and it will be for herself and not for him, and all the added additions. And yes, living in LA and living in certain circles and
Yeah.
entertainment, you do start to say, okay, well, maybe I can do this, I can do this.
Yes.
Her, augmentations were solely for him,
Yeah, exactly.
He's questioning, like, well, maybe I'll go down to a smaller size,
Yeah.
if I don't have the baby and stuff. But yeah, he's, Jackson is Jax. Kristen is
Child.
a mess.
I
I'm
did
like,
not think
why?
now.
I was so shocked. I'm like, but a good mess,
Like,
though.
you're still the same.
Yeah. Okay. So, what do you, okay. So, what's your
I know
take
what you're
on
gonna ask, because I was gonna ask you.
when she squeezed, was it Jesse's nipple? He squeezed her back.
Okay.
This, you touched him too.
So that, see, I said that's getting lost because that
Yes.
was inappropriate too.
Yes. I'm like,
And
you him.
it's like, and I
Yes.
think in his mind, he's thinking, we're on that level. You squeeze my titty nipple, but I'm
Yes.
gonna pinch back real quick on yours. And she was very much like, and I was kind of like, I get it, but at the same time, girl, you put, I would never go and twist
Yes.
my anybody other than my husband's titty nipple. So
Yeah.
let's be clear.
Especially some your friend's husband,
Well,
like,
yes, your friend's husband. And I think in his mind, because Kristen and Michelle were really good friends, it was just like, I'm squeezing your, like she was a bro, like you
was,
wanted a bros.
yes, I think that also, and it was like his knee-jerk reaction.
Yeah.
That is
And
crazy.
then she made it a thing. I was like, oh my gosh.
Very Kristen, very Kristen. I said,
Very
oh,
Kristen.
a thing.
But this is the first time, other than Tom, with the whole Jax thing, that she's had somebody like have her back. Because that boyfriend, he ain't afraid
Yeah.
of confrontation. And I feel like, but it's like toxicity is drawn to each other. Because when he sat in the confessional this week and said he knows a secret about Michelle, I said he would.
Here we go.
Just like when Kristen said, I've protected you, Michelle.
There was a blind item. Was there a blind item or someone had wrote? Oh, I forgot what it was. So we get inundated with so much Bravo content.
Yeah.
Someone wrote that. Oh, someone knew him, knows him in back in Montana. And saying that he was very happy to be on TV, and he oh
Okay, so one of those.
yeah.
Okay.
He's like, okay, well, let me get a little Bravo check and fame. Fame is a hell of a drug,
Oh, come on, because even.
You can be successful and have 1,000 acres, but 1,000 acres doesn't bring you eyes, and being on the platform and this being a spinoff of a hugely successful show, especially in the last year, you're going to want to be associated with that,
You
So.
are so right. Like you said, how you said you, fame is a hell of a drug. You can have millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah.
But if not, I mean, look at
Kathy. Look at Kathy.
and Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Girls, if you don't sit down somewhere,
Sit down, please.
you're already famous. Why do you want to be on the house? What, like,
Yeah.
okay, that's a whole nother. Okay. So,
Joking, I got something from Miss Kyle, but
like, y'all, I'm telling y'all, this show is so good with the Valley. So, what do you think about Michelle and Kristen? Because I'm gonna be honest, I feel like even though Kristen's a mess, I feel like Janet and Zach hung her out to dry, because I do believe Janet said everything Kristen said, or Janet said what she said. Zach came and brought it to her, and Zach brought in the racism piece.
I thought Zach pumped. I think Zach pumped it up.
Yeah,
and I think the Republican to racist line.
Yes.
Is very slippery. It's a slippery.
Yes.
It's quick. So I do think. I do think when Zach brought the information to Kristen, I think maybe Kristen was like, "Do you think she's racist?" Like, well, I mean, I don't know. She's Republican. So I think he probably insinuated.
Yes.
With it. And I do think Zach is smart enough to know that if I tell Kristen something, she's going to use it. Kristen has been on TV for 10 years, her and Jax. Mm-hmm. They know how to play this
the game. And Zach was good friends with Brittany first, I thought.
Yes.
Yeah. And then he got into the group, and now he's friends with them. Mm-hmm. So like you said, he knows how Kristen operates.
Yes.
And how Janet, to me, is scot-free from getting smoke. Janet should have smoke. And what was interesting to me was, so y'all, there's a character named Janet. She was talking to a girl named Michelle. And it was about the Don't Say Gay bill, right? Was it the Don't Say Gay bill?
Yeah.
And Michelle says, well, I agree. I think that protects children. You have a Black woman, one Black woman in the group, one member of the LGBTQ plus member in the group, Zach. Janet, you then go to Jasmine and Zach admittedly and say, she might be one we need to watch out for. And maybe we can have a conversation. The way she sat in that confessional and said that she went to the two members of the two groups that Michelle was talking because there evidently was some other conversation. You went to those two members of the groups to say, maybe we can have a conversation with her. So you put the burden on them instead of using your white woman privilege to have the conversation, or go to the other white people in your group and say, y'all, we need to have a conversation with her.
That's not how life works. They want the, you know, they want the non-white people to do all the labor. And Jasmine, not only is she Black, but she's bisexual.
Yes. So she's part of both groups. Yes.
She gets the double whammy, you know, but I'm glad that she clocked this. She's like, oh,
she
no.
She sure did.
She's like, no. And that's what I she like. Did. When you have a authentic friend group, they can not perform, but they can call stuff, be comfortable.
Yes.
If she was just plucked in there and they just met her 2 weeks ago, she probably don't. Was there. She don't know the dynamics. They don't know her.
Right.
But the fact that she was able to speak up and say, we're not about to do this. Put this on me or have me do all. Like, no, this is not about me. This is about her.
Right.
I know what racism feels like. I know I have dealt with it. So the fact that, and you can tell because they've made, I mean, in a friendship group, you make space for everyone to feel comfortable, to be honest. And for her to say that at that table, that lets me know, okay, they have given her space to be honest and be honest about her experience as a Black person. So what she said, no one looked like, huh, Jack, what? It wasn't like a Garcelle moment at the table in Beverly Hills.
Yes. Yeah.
And so it's like,
That's a good point.
When you have these years long friendships where they know each other. So when someone says something, it's not foreign to the ears of the group, you know? So.
Right. That's such a good point. They didn't react. It was just like, oh, okay, like we're having a conversation.
I always pay attention to the reactions and what's not said.
Yes.
And no one, I said, okay. I said, yeah, she's been there for years.
And she's a real friend of the group.
She's not one of the ones that's going to play case to them. She's like, okay, got it.
You're not going to put this burden on me to school her. And like you said, how she basically turned it around. No. We're not going to make it about race or about LGBTQ plus issues. It's about her.
Yes. Yes.
Let me tell you.
I don't know, Jasmine.
Right.
I'm here. So
we're not doing this. We're not going to do this, honey.
Yeah. And they move
which
right
is the smart way.
They move right along. You're like, we go, oh.
We're moving right along. I felt the tension. Like, a part of me did feel for Kristen, but also, girl, this is of your own making. When they were all painting, and it's like you can feel the tension in the room. And she's one of those ones. they're all happy to see each other. And you come in, oh, I didn't feel good. And so I took a pregnancy test. And it was like one of those people in your friend group where immediately it's not like, girl, I'm here, y'all. I wasn't feeling good, but we about to turn up. It was like all of the energy had to go to Kristen in that moment. Like she just draws all of the energy.
But even at, I think the second episode, they had an event outside. And she, it was after the dinner scene. Was it third episode? And she went up to Michelle. And she's like, I'm sorry. Like, she gets that, like, baby voice.
Which yes.
Soft voice. And, you know, oh, poor me. I'm just a baby.
I'm innocent in all of this.
But then she said every 5 minutes, you know, in my 40s, I'm in the valley. I'm like, girl, I'm in my 40s. I'm in the valley too. What's that?
Like, come on. Like, keep it popping. Like this whole, and it's sad, but to me, it's very, I'm not going to say it's very evident. I'm not going to place it. I'm not going to make my opinion a fact. My opinion is this baby fever. It can happen to women, but I think it's amplified by you being surrounded and on a show with women who are having babies. And I don't think she is still as close to Katie. She made mention of the fact, I think on one of her podcast episodes, that they live in the same building.
Yes, they do. They do. They do.
So I don't think she's as close. So I could, because I think if she was as close to a Katie or some of the other single women, it would be opposite. Yeah. But because she's surrounded by these people, it's like, oh, okay. Also, I wonder, well, I guess if she got pregnant, that would be another storyline. You know what I mean? Like,
You're right. And I'm thinking because Kristen has been in this game for so long, and babies do extend a person's storyline and their trajectory on the show. Lala, Shayna, you know, so it's Brittany and Jack, now they're back. Yeah. So I do think she knows she has to do something else. She has to move her life forward on TV for them to still be interesting in her and for her to stay a main cast member.
Yes.
And, you know, and not get drowned out by the couples, because it's a couples show.
That's right. Right. And they're all married except for her and her boyfriend. And even when he talked to her about moving to last episode, when they were out to eat, he talked to her about moving because he can't live in LA, and she was basically she was basically trying to use reality speak without using reality speak. Well, you know, not right now because my job is in LA, and it's like the show is in LA. Yeah, the fame is in LA. Yeah. We know. We get it, girl.
She's been, you know, reality stars, once they're in it for past 5 years and this is their actual career.
Yeah.
They have to keep going as long if they haven't, even when they venture out and do side projects and brands and deals and stuff, that bread and butter, they have to hold on to it as long as possible.
Yeah.
So I don't blame any. I don't blame
me neither. No. She's doing what she, and then, but and then it gets to a point where, like, if this is affecting your mental health or your peace, it's one thing if you can survive in chaos, but if you, but, and Kristen is thriving in the chaos. She is thriving. My heart went out to Nia this episode, her husband. I was like, now I did, that's not his name, but I was like, yes, he's, he, from what we see, good man, Savannah, all that. Yeah. I was a little irritated when he called her on her girl's trip to say the air conditioner's out, the babies are crying, can you come home? And she packed up early. And I part of me wondered if he knew what she was dealing with, would he have called her home?
Yeah.
Or would he have said, you need this? Yeah.
That's not fair. It's like, so should I take care of you too?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not cute. I don't think that's cute. When a wife or a partner or a girlfriend taking care of the kids, the home, and the man, and they think that's cute. That's not cute.
And then they go away. You go away for one night, and it's,
that's awful. Oh,
can you come home? And she left that night. Now I do have a question. Mm-hmm. Did they eat breakfast? Because we see Janet making breakfast in the morning. The next thing you know, everybody leaving. So I said, did they just not show that?
I think it was a cut. Remember that harsh cut at the, what was that? Remember how they all sat down when it started, the whole, like, she said she was, you know, anti-gay, racist.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then, like, it picked back up. It was flashbacks.
Yes.
So it's like, Some of the scenes, it's very clunky, and I did.
Yes.
Did I miss something?
I'm like, there was that's a harsh transition on to the next thing.
This show is so good.
You know, Michelle and Jesse in real life are separated, and Brittany came out and said they were separated before they announced that they were separated, before her and Jax.
Yeah, I didn't believe it, but I believe it. And I told my partner, I said, we're going to go down the street, Studio City, because we're, we're near Studio City, and we've driven past Jax's bar. And when I see that clip, he was like drunk.
Yes!
Oh, I got to see that in person. I was like, I
need you to be boots on the ground, and you need to come back and report and have video footages.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, but yeah, we're near Studio City, so we're definitely going to check out the bar.
The bar, because I've seen good and I've seen not so good. So it was like that. I was like, okay, then it must be. I'm gonna say it must be decent then, at least for it to be good and not him being drunk at that bar. They said that he be having a show playing.
I said,
oh, he loves the fame,
and he's gonna be on VPR this coming what. Tuesday? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Jax is with the shits. And you have to appreciate him for who he is. Because he wants to keep the gravy train going by any means necessary. And I don't blame.
He knows what to say and what to do to get it popping.
And the difference between him and the Sandoval is lying to himself. It's like, dude, just fall. Yeah. Into who you are, and people will love it or hate it. Like how you love or you hate Jax Taylor, but you know who he is.
Yes, that's true. You know who he versus Sandoval, who's trying to create this identity of him being this other person.
La la, la. What you mean we're in love, la la.
I want to be that nasally. I want to be like sniff and wipe your nose and get into your voice, like.
We were in love. Did you see the last episode of VPR when James chewed him up?
Shot and ate him when he said, I wouldn't worry about that, bud. She said she's still in love with me, so I wouldn't take too much. I said, and I'm not normally a James fan. I said, come on, James. Come on.
Like, come on, man. Just fuck that, man. Come on, man. I tell you, he deserved that.
Yes.
James can't even like stomach him, but
I was going to say the fact that James even went that far to have that conversation without going off beforehand and the way he was able to walk away and just kind of be like, and I'm not opening for you.
Yeah, I think James was frustrated, like, dude, like, stop trying to like lie to us, saying you just like this big love, but like love affair, like this was a fuck affair. We are not about to do this, people.
And even James coming in being like, how are you? I heard the podcast and inquiring about how he feels. He was really trying to be like, how you feeling, man? Like, bro, but then Sandoval made it about him. So Raquel slept with her best friend's man because she was selfish. And that now affects you. Like the way he tried to make it seem like she was selfish and used me.
That's crazy. Sir,
we are not going to act like, yes, she was selfish, but we are not going to act like she had this diabolical plan to use you.
I feel like that Candy meme, this is crazy.
Are we really watching this man?
But I'm glad, like, I was so happy that James chewed him out because it's like, but
and
again,
spit the bones out. Boom.
I think if Sandoval just leaned into this like aging rock star, lean into it, the groupies, lean into it. Because I do think if Ariana comes back next year, I will know for sure that Bravo backed up 2 Brinks trucks because Ariana does not need to show no more.
Right. Like, 2.5, like, here we go.
So they better hope she comes back because honestly, the last season, Sandoval season, was okay until we found out the affair.
Yeah.
I was watching, like, okay, I can watch it. You know,
yeah, that's how I felt too. Like, people like, oh, it was so bad. I'm like, no, I was fine.
I was fine, but I do think that now that this big shift has happened and their ratings kind of hover between like 1 million, 9.8, you know, that'll. I do think they need to have a plan. I do think they're thinking of a plan just in case. Because Lala isn't enough. Shayna isn't enough. Schwartz isn't enough. Katie sure as hell isn't.
They
need Ariana. I do think if she does come back, I do think next season will be the swan song.
Because she'll be showing her established.
If something about her opens, I do think she may, if it opens on schedule, I do think it makes sense to stay another year to really pump up business, because it's a business and you don't want to, you want to promote it, free promotion, you know?
Right.
So I do think they should close out this show to me after next season. Because what else? And the thing about with me, VPR are so hard to cast. When they try to add people, it doesn't work, because these people have known each other since 10 plus years.
Yes.
The friend doves work sometimes, but it's all about the core people.
Yeah. I mean, because think about even when Ariana wasn't necessarily on the first season, but they all knew her because she worked at one of the restaurants.
Yep.
Would you be open to them bringing in a group of actual friends, like the next class of Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, but I need them to all be like working there already.
That's what I mean. Like, so say if there's a group of them that work there now, would you be open to a new cast?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. And the thing about it is, there, one thing I will say about Lisa has diverse staff in all of her restaurants.
Okay.
When you see some of the, when she's walking through, you see they have a lot of diverse, staff. So I mean, I'm quite sure that idea has been kicked around. So that makes sense. You know, let the original people just go off, you know,
but into the sunset or the valley.
I'm quite sure they're not going to want to leave, because that money, that's the money.
You know? Yeah. So. Yeah, I can see that. Tom Sandoval is going to be like, if I got to sleep with Allie, child, to make another Scandoval.
Scandoval was a once in a lifetime.
Yeah, I think comments aren't once in a lifetime, but it was almost like a comment that they were able to capture. Yeah. Like, what now? Like,
that was a good time.
Yes, it was. Y'all, please get into the valley and then come back and let me and Carlos know what y'all think. Carlos will be back in the next week or so to discuss Martha's Vineyard, because Carlos is such a good friend that he is putting up with my, you know, I keep saying my crazy schedule, but the reality is I make my own schedule, but I go when the money goes. So it's like, oh, this is happening at this time. So Carlos adjusted for me and I appreciate that, but he will be back to discuss Martha's Vineyard. Because we need y'all to be watching. We need y'all to be watching and tweeting about a reunion, y'all. We need to be on them. Like, we can't have Martha's Vineyard go the way of Southern Charm New Orleans. We cannot.
And like I told you a few days ago, I enjoy seeing Black people
just have fun.
There, you know, I know we're all out of mind left. All out of mind. I hate that term because we aren't. No group of anyone is a monolith. No one group. There is a space for every facet of Black life to be portrayed.
Come on.
There is. This cast, and I am biased because Preston and I, we're very close friends. We've known him, we've been friends for 10 years.
We love Preston.
So these people, this friend group, this cast, we know people like them. You know, this is the foundation, again, back to what I said earlier, the foundation of every successful show is genuine friendships with year-long connections interwoven. We have friends within the friendship groups.
Yes.
And it's so good. It's like, it's light, it's fun, it's shady.
And I like them doing regular things. Black people are like, it doesn't have to be this big thing. It doesn't even have to be this huge drama thing all the time. Why can't we just be regular Black folks having fun on the vineyard? And that's what I do like about this show.
Because y'all let Southern Charm be regular.
Come on.
And I love Southern Charm. Y'all let them be regular.
But Black people always have to step it up.
And entertain. And they are entertaining to me and they're great. They are good.
And I love the Black references that are in the show. The wave caps.
Yeah.
You know, the coconut oil, the Harpo Hootis, like all of that stuff. I love us being represented.
Yeah, it's just
Jasmine like, saying this is my hair and somebody else's hair. This is Black girl Matt. You know, just like
how I see it, they're living their lives. A camera crew just happened.
Come on,
follow them, and that's how the show should be. That's literally the nucleus of a reality show. We're just following you. You're not performing for us,
and we're not putting something in your ear. Let them just be them, and let's give them a chance.
Yes.
I absolutely love Martha's Vineyard. I do. I said, I know people say the other Summer House is good, and I know it show probably is, and one day I'll get to it. I had it, and then I gave it back to Bravo and Jesus some years ago. But I said, right now, I have room for one Summer House, and that's Martha. So I'm going to always ride for Martha.
So good.
Regardless. So y'all need to please y'all get into Martha's Vineyard and the Valley. I'm telling y'all, y'all not going to be sorry you get into the Valley. Even if you didn't watch Vanderpump Rules, you don't really have to because they kind of explain in the Valley.
And plus, there's no housewife shows. So,
right, yes.
In the Valley.
Yes.
To VPR is like about to wrap. It's like,
yeah.
We have these shows. So do not complain.
Yes, say it.
Not complain when they say, "Why we only got Love Hip Hop?" Like, well, we had Southern Charm New Orleans, and now we have. And granted, Southern Charm New Orleans was out before like the boom of social media and everyone talking about and content creators. But we have Martha's Vineyard right here, giving it to us. Everything don't have to be dark.
Come on, come on. Let me.
Well, fight night.
Everything doesn't have to be dark, child. And sometimes Black people don't want to be dark. We want to be light and have fun.
I want to sit and watch and eat popcorn and just like zone out of everyday stuff and just like watch TV like everybody else.
Everybody else. And let y'all know that at this point, Milo was on my nerves, but Milo can stay and Bria can go if we have to make a choice. Okay.
I'm not like a dog person, but he is so, when he tore up her room, so funny.
Exactly. I'm not a dog person either, but something about I will take Milo over Bria.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? We're going to talk about it because I love the mechanics of everyone on that show.
That's true. They all.
Bria. You need a Bria. You need a Bria. So.
Ooh, but that child, you need a Bria, but I'd be like, she ain't never been touched, but.
I know.
Okay, Carlos will be back, y'all, and we're going to get into depth about Martha's Vineyard. That'll probably be an episode next week. But Carlos, I love you. Please tell everybody where they can find you.
Sure, you can find me on Instagram, Carlos Writes, or Twitter. I say Twitter, Carlos J. Harris. I'm there talking pop culture, music, housewives, everything.
And y'all, Carlos is into soap operas. He's a writer. I keep saying he's a producer. And Carlos gives you all the things. He can talk General Hospital. He can talk this. He can talk that. He's a writer for Swerve Magazine. He just did an article with Preston that was so, so good. Y'all check it out. So I loved the vibe of that article. Just looking at the pictures gave me when you used to cut out the pictures and hang them on your wall. Everything about that article was good. And the way you brought in Black cultural references into the article. So I just loved it. So y'all, I will make sure that I link Carlos's things. Make sure you check him out. I was pressuring him at one point to kind of like start his own podcast, but now I'm about to be selfish and be like, all right, you have a lot on your plate, so you can just always come guest over here. I love not being selfish.
I like to be, you know, I love to come on. I love doing this.
I love having you. Y'all, our conversations, not just about, Like the way we talk here is like how we talk about life. Like, you know what I mean? Like in everything. And I so love it. So y'all make sure y'all give a shout out to Carlos. Y'all check out The Valley. Let us know your thoughts on Potomac. Are you hard set on not watching, or are you waiting to see what the cast shapes up to be? Do y'all think that hashtag Mia Be Lion is the future of Potomac? Please let us know. And tune in to Martha's Vineyard. Martha, tune in to Martha's Vineyard. Shout out to Preston. That's one of my faves too. Hey, AP, congratulations. So y'all, shout out to Pete. So I love the which person are you today? One, two, three, or four?
Let me tell you something. When I saw that, I saw it and he texted me. Every time I see him in something, I'm like, look at Huddy. You better know. He know me even before. Like, I love to see my people looking good.
Yeah, come on. Yes.
I'm like, P? I had to start following his stylist. I said, let me tell you something. He be having that ish on.
You know what it reminds me of? Seeing what? Fantasia in her promotional circuit, and then looking at him and his promotional circuit. I said, you better come on.
See my people looking the good.
Yeah, like, because it's like, that's us.
To look like money. Like, and I love it. I love that for him. And I love the fact that who he is and how he looks is a inspiration to a lot of people. Yes. I don't need to see another light-skinned person on a effing show. I don't. That's why I've never felt like, I never saw myself visually. I always saw myself. If you're light-skinned, you always see yourself. Especially if you look at her, you always see yourself. So I'm happy that the fact that he is on this show, because he, a lot of, you know, baby Prestons, or even no matter how they look or how they show up, the fact that he's there and he's a genuine friend. He's not a character. So that, but we want to get into it.
He's not a side character or an accessory. He is actually a part of, All right, y'all. Y'all heard it here. Thank y'all so much for watching and listening. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, you can go to wherever you listen to your podcast, What Else Is Going On with Taria S. Faison. Hit that follow button. Please subscribe to the YouTube. Again, I'm only 130 away from 1,000. Y'all, thank you so much. Y'all know I love y'all. I truly don't take a moment for granted of time that you've spent with us. So we will talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.